Welcome to the Exec MBA podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. So on this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with several graduates from our Executive MBA class of 2021 who served as second-year tutors over the past year. If you have questions about academics, how students juggle work, life, and school as Executive MBA format students, you've come to the right place. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here is my interview with several second-year tutors from our Executive MBA class of 2021. Barry, Justin, Matt, Peter, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks. All right. Our little podcast moment in history here. Congratulations. What a way to start a weekday. So first and foremost, I should note that you are all now graduates of the Darden School of Business Executive MBA class of 2021. Barry, I'm going to come to you with this question first. How does it feel to be here post-graduation?
Oh, it feels great. A lot of extra time that we didn't have before. So getting a little extra sleep, paying a little more attention to my family, which is fantastic, and work as well.
All right, Justin, you seem tanned. Maybe you've been vacationing somewhere. Is that what you've been doing?
We actually, we had a barbecue yesterday, and I am not a big fan of sunscreen. So Kevin Rivers actually came over, and we grilled out a couple of sausages for Memorial Day. It was great.
All right. That is quite a thing to do. It seems seasonally appropriate and living on the edge here. Memorial Day weekend 2021. I appreciate it. Matt Duffy, how are you doing? You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing really well. Since the program's ended, same as Barry, I've had a lot of time to get back, get some projects done around the house that have been sitting idle since we bought. So, yeah.
All right. And Peter, last but not least, what are you doing with your newfound time?
Yeah, it's been a big transition leaving or finishing up Darden. I also finished up my Marine Corps career. Today is my final last day in the Marine Corps. I received my DD-214 here at about 2 o'clock this afternoon. So it's just been a bunch of cleanup items. It's been a very busy spring. Very welcome to have it come to an end, but also sad at the same time.
Wow, what an auspicious day for you, Peter. So participating in Executive MBA podcast history, you recently completed the Executive MBA program and, you know, officially completing your Marine Corps service. That is an incredible, incredible day. So congratulations on all counts. All right, Justin, I'm going to come to you with this first question. So for our listeners here, tell us a little bit more about you, your background, what you did before coming to Darden.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a leadership program manager at GE Aviation. Prior to coming to Darden, I've been working at GE for almost 2.5 years now. Prior to that, I was part of the Pathways program with Amazon, and prior to that, I was an instructor pilot flying F-18s for the United States Navy. For me, it was kind of an easy thing to come to Darden. You know, this is having a very heavy operations background. This was something that I wanted to round out my skills. You know, I learned the finance, learned the accounting, work on my communication, and be able to network with such fine individuals that we got on this call here. It was really a great opportunity.
All right, Matt, tell us your story.
Yeah. So I was prior Coast Guard and from there I got my degree. I was enlisted in the Coast Guard and got my statistics degree and became a data scientist. So I've been about 8 years now in data science consulting. And the reason I chose Darden was I wanted to get a little bit less technical, a little bit round out those managerial skills, learn a little bit more about how businesses run from a top end. And I also wanted to just learn from a bunch of cool people what they do, because I wanted to figure out what I wanted to do when I grew up. I knew I didn't want to stay in consulting forever. And what better way than to meet 140 people with unique backgrounds doing unique things to kind of help you guide your path in life. So that was one of the biggest reasons I came here.
Certainly a familiar one to our podcast listeners, this sort of idea of career exploration, being surrounded by people who do something different than what you do on a day in, day out basis. Peter, tell us a little bit more about you and how you decided to pursue an MBA.
Yeah, so I graduated Texas A&M 2010 and immediately joined the Marine Corps. after my initial training, I went on to learn how to be a NFO in the EA-6B Prowler. So I was an NFO in the EA-6B Prowler until 2017 when I accepted orders to come here to University of Virginia and be a ROTC instructor. So from 2017 until today, I've been here as an ROTC instructor. After my second year as the instructor, Marine officer instructor here, I decided that I knew that I was going to be transitioning to the civilian sector. And I knew that I needed to relearn how to communicate in the professional world. Slightly different than Marine Corps or the military as a whole, not too different, but I knew I was lacking those skills and those interpersonal skills to be as effective as possible in the private sector. That was one of the major reasons. And secondly, it's just a phenomenal program. I've interacted with individuals from the Darden community over the past 4 years doing different exposure events with my students and trying to get them as much training and exposure as possible. So working with those individuals, it was almost a no-brainer. Just the quality of faculty and instructors that they recruit and bring into their program. So it was a pretty easy, decision to make there.
All right. And last but not least, Barry, tell us a little bit more about your story and what led you to Darden.
Yeah. So I actually just started a new job right after LR2. Coming into Darden, my role was overseeing finance and administration for a relatively small organization that provided IT services for nonprofits. And my story is a little less than traditional. I graduated with a computer science and engineering degree and then went into consulting. And then very early in my career, met up with someone and started up a company and really figured out how to run a business just from the ground up. Never was really educated in the process, never really had a business degree. And I was actually joking around. I think it was Q1 during professional advancement course that I had finance in my title, but never took a finance class. So coming to Darden was just like Justin and Matt said, it was an opportunity to round out some of my skills and really brush up on some of the things that I probably should have learned a long time ago, especially for my occupation. But yeah, and that's where we are today.
Right. Well, great to learn a little bit more about you. And one of the things that we're going to talk about in the second half of the conversation, some of the ways that you've been involved as leaders in the executive MBA program, we're going to talk about a new initiative you were part of, second year tutors. But before we get there, I want to talk a little bit more about your adjustment to business school as Darden students. If you can cast your memory back, as our listeners know from our conversation, your post-graduation, maybe everything's a little bit hazy at this point, but if you can cast your memory back to being relatively new Darden students in those first few quarters of the program, Matt, I'm going to come to you with this first question here. What were the biggest adjustments for you, or was there anything that was more challenging in that early going?
That's a great question. I'll give you a couple items that I thought about. First was just the family adjustment. I really don't think what the time commitments are going to be. You know when classes are going to be. You have that kind of information up front. But I don't think I really fully understood how that was going to impact my life. So really just getting stuff done around the house, who's going to do the cooking, helping support my wife in those endeavors was one of the biggest adjustments early on. The other one was probably just being uncomfortable with not knowing stuff, like just going to classes and being like, this is material that I don't fully understand, counting on some classmates to help you out with it, trying to get out of your head that you need to be the best at everything. You can rely on a bunch of other people. That was a big adjustment for me early on. And it was a quick adjustment. I had a great team, a learning team that helped me get over that and forced me to kind of listen to different perspectives early on. And that was a great benefit for me early in the program, was just having people that said, it's cool to listen to different perspectives. It's cool to have different ideas and maybe you don't know everything and, you shouldn't have fully formed opinions about everything. That's what the case method's supposed to do.
I appreciate that last point in particular, because there's always this moment in the program where you see people weekend residency and you can tell that they're maybe you know, feeling pretty challenged by the material, and they've come out of this world, you know, every day you work and you kind of know what you're doing, right? You're pretty confident about, I know the answer, I know what should happen. And regularly in class, you're being challenged and you're outside your comfort zone and you're learning about all these things that you may not have any direct personal professional experience with. And I always think of that as one of the probably most psychologically challenging parts of the program. It's just the constant exposure to new information. Peter, how about for you? What were the adjustments in the early quarters of the program?
Yeah, once again, a great question. It's hard to get back to that because our last 15 months was so abnormal. So just off the top of my head and thinking about while Matt was answering it, you know, the teamwork aspect of Darden was probably the one thing that I didn't come in thinking about. And it took me maybe that first quarter to really be like, you're not going to do this by yourself. There's no possible way. And Darden kind of sets you up for that in your first initial learning teams being set up. And they kind of point you in that direction, but they never tell you. And it's up to you to be like, up to you to figure out who your team's going to be, and you need to continue to work as a team even after that LR1 is over. And that's probably going to be the only way you're really going to get to this thing successfully. Because like Matt said, you're not going to know the material. You're not going to be prepared. You're going to have to lean on other people to help you out and fill in the gaps. And if you come in thinking that you're going to be a one-man show or one-woman show, it's just not going to, first of all, you're not going to enjoy it as much as everyone else. And you're just not going to actually get the true lessons learned that you're supposed to, in my opinion.
I really appreciate that point, because I do think that revelation hits people maybe early in the program, maybe a little bit later, but it hits everybody, right? That you're going to have to ask other people for help and lean on other folks. And oftentimes that's a change from prior educational experiences that people have had. They may know undergrad or a graduate degree where they were largely, you know, working by themselves. And it's just, there's too much. There's just entirely too much for you to do. It's too challenging to try to go alone. So I really appreciate that point, Peter. Barry, how about for you? Any adjustments in the early going of the program?
Yeah, I think the key thing for me was time management. I'm the only one, I believe, out of us four here that have kids. And so, you know, just having a full-time job, my wife works full-time, having two kids and, you know, trying to make that adjustment. This was the first time in my entire life where, and I think this just reiterates what Peter and Matt were saying a few moments ago, it's the first time in my life where I didn't have all the time I needed to do what I needed to do. Like, I remember an undergrad, you know, if you needed to cram for a test, you could stay up till 3-4 in the morning and then just catch up on sleep another time. And even, you know, in your 20s, when you're working, you can always find time on the weekends to get some work done. This was really the first time where there wasn't enough hours in the day. And like Matt said earlier, you know, you got to ask for help sometimes. And that was a little bit of an adjustment for me, because I have the personality where I'm like, I'm going to get it done. I can do it myself. But in reality, when you're in this program, you can't. You know, Matt was an integral part of my Q1 in decision analysis, you know, being a statistics guy and a number data science guy. I needed to rely on someone who actually knew what they were talking about. And then in my personal life, it was a little similar too. You know, I didn't really want to ask for help to get things done. But, you know, having a supportive spouse and supportive friends and understanding what's going on, it's very important to rely on those folks.
I really appreciate all the comments around time management, because it's one thing for us as admissions officers to say, hey, you know, this could be, you know, 15 to 20 hours or more. It's another thing, though, for people to try to figure out how that's going to work within their lives. And of course, every quarter is its own challenge. You're going to get new classes. So every couple of months, you got to size that all up again. And some of the material may be harder for you than other material that you're encountering in the program. And there's constant responding to, you know, new things. And of course, your life is not static either. Justin, any thoughts that you want to share on this question of, these were the things that were challenging for me as I got started?
No, I would say, you know, the time management piece, obviously everybody's kind of hit. The big realization that I had that I was going to have to prioritize a little bit more is I found myself doing the Gem 1 final on a middle row, middle seat flight from Naples, Italy to Cincinnati, and like three plane changes hourly, you know, hourly times. Just it was miserable. So, you know, it was one of those things where, okay, all right, maybe I need to prioritize getting stuff done a little bit more soon so I can make sure that I'm fitting in my work responsibilities and traveling around the world a little bit more efficiently, I would say.
I will say I have not asked a lot of probing questions about where people take exams and what are the situations in which they're taking an exam, but on a flight from Naples, Italy, back to, you know, eventually Cincinnati, that might very well be one of the more surprising locations. You can take these exams. You're taking them remotely, so you can take them from anywhere. So there's that.
Peter is significantly better than I am at economics. So it was already an uncomfortable sort of adventure to begin with. Sorry, Professor DeBeer. I apologize in advance when you hear this. But yeah, just the situation certainly enforced the lesson for time management for me pretty quickly.
Well, for our listeners who are just kind of getting up to speed on some of the alphabet soup of Darden, so DA is decision analysis, GEM is global economies and markets. There's all these abbreviations you'll learn over the course of the program. So as I mentioned earlier, you're all here to talk about the second year tutor program, which you were the inaugural class of tutors. And this was new for our program. And I wanted to give you space to talk about this because one, I think it's really, really a cool initiative. We know that oftentimes for many of our students, the quantitative elements, aspects of the program are some of the most challenging classes. So accounting, decision analysis, global economies and markets, finance, and also, you know, people have access to their classmates, but you have the benefit of having been in these classes before just a year ago. So that's a different perspective than someone's peer can offer who's going through it in real time. So Peter, I want to come to you with this question. What attracted you to serving as a second year tutor?
Yeah, so I think this all really started in and around that first decision analysis course, a pretty difficult course to wrap your brain around, especially with computer skills, Excel skills, crystal ball skills. And the idea there was Matt Duffy's, I want to believe, and Justin's eventually to take over as tutors for our class. And as we continued through the program, your more quantitative, your more quant heavy courses, everyone started stepping up to the plate. I found myself to be pretty good at global economies and markets. So I started tutoring small sessions on the weekends or free time for our class. And then it just got bigger and bigger. I think that Laura Bordoni is the one that saw how valuable those sessions were because we had to go through her to set them all up. We were doing everything through Canvas. So they were all actual scheduled meetings at scheduled times. And when she saw how well we ran those and how effective I think they were, she actually reached out to us and was like, hey, would you all be interested? She reached out to the whole class. She's like, would you all be interested in helping out the second years, especially knowing that they were coming in an abnormal environment? The four of us ended up reaching back out to her and signing up for it. And that was really the genesis of it. We knew what we were strong at. We were willing to give the time to the first year students, knowing how difficult it was, especially not being in person and having that face time with your professors. So we took it upon ourselves to use our knowledge and our experience to help them in a more difficult time. And I think we did a really great job at it. Every single quantitatively heavy course was covered up until the last quarter for them, which I think was Q4. Obviously, we went on our way to LR2 and now our alumni. But that was the genesis behind it, you know, trying to help out. We saw how effective it was for our class and trying to help out the next people in line.
So Barry, we've talked a lot about time and time management, and time is this limited resource. And listeners may be hearing y'all say, you know, you were leading these sessions, you were doing these things that are extracurricular for your classmates. I mean, what sort of the initial spark, as Peter mentioned, was the fact that y'all were leading sessions for your classmates and helping out in that way. What led you to do that, given, you know, you don't have a lot of free time and doing that kind of work takes time and being helpful in that way takes time?
Yeah, so Peter nailed the origin story. That was the aha moment for me. We were really just figuring out how to get by, and I'll never forget that moment. We were, you know, we were in the fishbowl classroom, and Matt was like, "Hey, I'll lead a session if anyone wants to stick around class." And I think it was like 6 o'clock on a Friday or Saturday, where everyone should have been out, you know, enjoying themselves. But we had, I don't know, it was probably a third to at least half the class full of people just staring at Matt. And I remember watching Matt try to fumble at the projector and present in a professorial way. But it actually worked out really well. And I just remember looking around class and looking at everybody just so engaged and just listening to every word Matt was saying. And I just saw the importance and the positive effects of having some type of tutoring program, whether it was casual or more formal. And I'll say that not knowing what you're doing is a very uncomfortable feeling. And I think that's really what led me to want to do this and at least help out folks, whether it was, you know, like Justin said, or Peter said earlier, you know, doing these one-off classes, tutoring sessions with a small group, or something that's more formalized for the entire cohort. It was, for me, it was really more paying it forward. I benefited from others. Everyone on this call at some point helped me improve in one of the class areas. And so just being able to pay that forward and help somebody else out and really make a day or a week or a quarter of theirs a little bit easier, that was really what drove me.
Appreciate all of those points, and it resonates a lot with other things that people have talked about here on the podcast, and you've mentioned in this conversation the emphasis on teamwork and collaboration. Decision analysis, it's been invoked a few times here. One of the challenging courses in the program, it comes early, it's in quarter one. Matt, what was it like to lead those DA sessions up front? You're a brand new student maybe when you're leading those sessions.
Yeah, it's an interesting spot, because it's decision analysis is not like a statistics class. I wouldn't say it's that. So it's like all of my statistics training is helpful in decision analysis, but it's not exactly what I learned. But it was just clear that I had a grasp of the material, and I've always had like a toolkit, you know, in my consulting career, I have a toolkit of metaphors and little examples that I've used to help clients along. And I was like, you know what? I can probably use these same tools to help my classmates along. It was a little nerve wracking, because you're like, if I say the wrong thing and somebody gets an exam question wrong because of that, you're like, oh man, like, are they going to just come after me or yell at me? You know, Professor Caraway said that this was wrong and this is what you told me to do. And I'm like, okay. I'm sorry. But it seemed more important to just have, because the sessions are case method, sometimes you just need somebody to step back and say, here's the fundamentals of like how to accomplish the problem. And it was just a natural place for me to step in. And candidly, everybody else helped out in other classes too. You know, I think DA was first, so I get a lot of credit, but you know, Amy Poza stepped up for accounting right the quarter afterwards and led everybody through that. So it was kind of throughout. And then to your question of like, why the second year tutoring, candidly, I don't know if I would have done it if, you know, I think it's easy to say, rely on your classmates, but with the challenging environment that the 22 started in, it just was a clear, you know, there was a clear reason to step up and say, you know, we should be helpful as 21s that were able to be in person and saw how this tutoring worked.
I appreciate that. And y'all have been incredible partners in so many ways. So that we bragged on you here on the podcast and elsewhere about all that your class. I mean, y'all went through, as mentioned, a significant disruption. COVID-19 hits in March of 2020. You've been in person up until that point. Now you're online. And that was challenging. But the fact that you also acknowledged, hey, we want to help the 2022s with as they get adjusted to this unusual reality, it says a lot about your class and the group here on the podcast. Justin, I want to make sure you have a chance to get in here. What attracted you to serving as a second year tutor?
It's, you know, for me, have always had the opportunity of being able to rely on fantastic teachers throughout my entire career, whether it was with the Navy, you know, it points at Amazon, especially at GE, to be able to learn and to be able to kind of steal that knowledge, you know, that they were freely giving. I am a direct, you know, we all have had those opportunities to be able to learn, you know, from those experts. And so, you know, when we came here, it was almost like, hey, let's do it. You know, it was just that sense of collaboration, that sense of community that Darden teaches and talks about. You know, when it asked for the opportunity, it was just, you know, not a question of if, but okay, great. When do you want to do this? You know, so it was just a natural fit.
Well, thank you all for talking about the origin story and your motivations for getting involved. I want to transition to talking about what this actually looked like in terms of your work with the first year students. Let's see, Matt, can I come to you first just to talk a little bit more about what this kind of work looked like? What kind of sessions were you leading? Was it large group sessions? Was it one-on-one?
I can start, but I think Peter's going to have a lot more to say about this since he did all of the legwork running it. But for me, the sessions were, I was primarily doing decision analysis again, and the sessions were group sessions. Me and Barry, I think, split the first one, and we broke them out into a couple of groups because we did think that like having a huge group might drown out a few voices and material wouldn't get covered that, you know, needed to be covered. I think the other important thing that we tried to do was, you know, we tried to focus the program on people that needed to get to that SP level in the class. And, you know, we were trying to silence some of the voices that were really trying to get that DP and get that deeper knowledge. It's like, you know, this is really to get everybody to a kind of a baseline. And those sessions are mostly Q&A. That's the way I like to run it. I know some other people do like to have an agenda. I prefer to do Q&A because you get at what the group kind of needs. And also freewheeling is just my style. I prefer freewheeling versus planned, but that's just a me thing. So I guess that's kind of an overview of how I ran those sessions.
All right, Peter, I'm coming back to you.
The idea was to have as personalized of a session as possible. So we always prompted it was a beast to set up first and foremost because of our schedules are exact opposite to begin with so that they can facilitate both classes. And then we're trying to find those few little parts that overlap where we don't have class and they don't have class. So it's pretty difficult, but we did it. So trying to create the most personalized sessions that we could. DA, we would try to have two or three tutors on, go out to small rooms, breakout rooms, and try to answer people's specific questions that they might not have felt comfortable in a group of 25 plus. It didn't always work out that way, but that's what we tried to do. And just like the classroom, all of the learning comes from the questions that were given by the class that we were tutoring. Now, I always had prepared material because I was doing something a little bit more black and white as a sense of accounting tutoring, where Amy Poza also helped out. She was a second year tutor for that, so she pinched it for us there. But econ, finance, things that you know, you can do a lesson plan for slightly. Just make sure everyone, you know, make sure everyone's getting the key concepts down. So I did have prepared material, and I would always ask that the tutors try to prepare as much material as they thought was necessary for the classes and the cases that were to be covered. And the way that we structured it, Brett, was after every LR2, we would try to get with the first year students on that Saturday or that Sunday to Wednesday, one of those days in there for an hour to an hour and a half, because they had all those questions from the past weekend. We needed to make sure that they understood those concepts going into their next set of cases and their second on grounds. I said LR2, I'm sorry. That OGR one, on grounds one, and then make sure they have the concepts, get them through OGR two, make sure they got those concepts in a small wrap up and have them be ready for their exam period. And that was kind of the structure. It didn't always work out that way, but 90% of the time we were able to structure it that way and get those tutoring sessions in from Sunday to Wednesday.
That is no small commitment of time to help folks in that way.
Yeah, and you didn't realize it till after the fact. It was always after the fact. You're like, oh my gosh, I spent 4 hours trying to figure out what to talk about and how and when it's going to get done, which just seems like an insignificant amount of time until you don't have to spend it anymore. And you're like, wow, that was a little bit more than I intended, but it was totally worth it.
All right. Just to help our listeners orient to Darden grades, so they may be wondering what an SP mm-hmm. is. Matt, can I come back to you since you introduced the SP here in the conversation? What would an SP equal?
I think it's a standard pass or a satisfactory pass. And that's just kind of your B level. You got the concept. You're right on average for the course.
All right. And so Barry, so we talked about the sessions, what it looked like from a time commitment standpoint for the folks who were leading the sessions. Were you surprised by the questions that people were asking? I'm sure every group has their own questions, but could you relate to where they were in the process having been, I mean, was that part of your experience? It's like, oh yeah, I remember this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the sense that I got during these sessions was that some folks had a decent grasp, but there was just something that was missing, or there was a concept that they didn't get because things happened so quickly in class, or this is so new to them where, you know, that first OGR weekend was like a foreign language. And so the way I thought through this going into any of these sessions was you have to go down to the lowest common denominator, because if you don't have the folks grasp the basic concepts, you're going to lose everybody or a good number of folks. So I think what Peter was saying, you know, it takes a long time just to put together a basic lesson plan. And it's not that it's hard. It's that it's an art and a science to make sure that you're teaching the right things that then progress into the next topic, that progress into the next topic. And then ultimately what we're trying to help everybody do is pass the course and also get ready for that next level of classes. So for all the classes we've talked about, DA, JAM, finance, accounting, they all have course one and course two. And so I always looked at it as, I want to make sure everybody knows what the heck they're talking about now, can pass the course, but also prepare themselves for that next level. And so everyone has a different structure. Matt said he likes the free flow. Peter's a little more structured. I'm probably somewhere in between. I like to have a basic, you know, when I do it, I would work in Excel and I'd have kind of a 101 tab. So I'd say, here are all the things that you really just need to know, the concepts, some of the key terms. And then I'd have other tabs that were really copies of problems that we've already done. And I'd walk through one of the sample problems or one of the cases or whatever that might look like. But we do it from scratch, and I'd cold call, or I'd ask for volunteers first. But if nobody volunteered, I'd cold call and I'd say, well, what do you think? And if you don't know the answer, how would you address it? Similar to what the professors would do, but probably a little bit easier and a little bit less formal.
So Justin, one of the things that can be complicated is if you know something really well, and maybe it might come a little bit easier to you, is to kind of put yourself in that position of the new learner who has limited experience, who may not necessarily be grasping the material. How did you control for that? Or how did you, I imagine people who are leading these sessions, maybe the material is a little bit more familiar to you and comes maybe a little bit easier. So how did you put yourself in that position?
I tried to leave as much space, just like Matt, to answer questions, you know, because that really was the easiest way for me to meet people where they were, and to be able to get to really the fundamentals of what they were asking. You know, we kind of did an all stop for one of the DA sessions because someone, you know, had a kind of a basic, a very basic question. You know, we did something in forward and then we did it in reverse, just to kind of prove a lot of the concepts we were talking about in BA were actually, you know, kind of repeatable, consistent, easy for them to understand. And then they understood literally the concept forward and backwards. We had someone say, hey, wait a minute, hold on. I don't understand how we got here. And so we just kind of no kidding. Everything stopped. You know, we walked through the whole thing again and just said, all right, here, tell, where is the disconnect? Where can you tell me that you don't see this happening? And we were able to get right to not only where they saw that problem, but the fundamental conceptual misunderstanding they had there as well. So my style was a little bit more freewheeling as well, because it did allow me to meet people where they were and where, you know, they needed help.
So Barry, how do you feel like this experience of being a second year tutor and helping the new first year students contributed to your overall Darden experience? What did you take away from this?
Yeah, it's really fulfilling. And someone mentioned earlier the sense of community, and that was something that I understood that before I even matriculated 2 years ago. And that was one of the kickers of coming here was, you know, this is not a program where you're competing with one another. And I got that when I was looking at other schools. Darden felt very team focused, community focused, help each other out. I had a couple of 20s coming into the program that just served as incredible resources to me. And they were just more general questions. And, you know, I didn't know what to expect. So I asked, what is it like? You know, what are the time commitments like? And everyone was so generous with their time. And so for me, it was just, you know, I wanted to help in whatever way that I could. And if that meant helping someone with finance or DA, like I said earlier, paying it forward. So it was just very fulfilling, and an unintended consequence, which was not a reason why I went in. But you really build your network a little bit more. You're starting to, you know, gain the respect, and you get the FaceTime with a whole nother class that you wouldn't have otherwise had.
Matt, how about for you? What did you take away from this experience?
I think mostly the same takeaways as Barry. This was just for me in particular, where my skill set lies, it was an easy way to say, this is exactly how I can give back to the community that, you know, has helped me out. This is exactly in my lane. It's also made me rethink what my career is going to look like in the future. I have realized that I want to be in those teaching and mentoring roles. I have all this technical knowledge. I do want to step up a level and become more managerial. But as part of that, I want to be mentoring these, you know, new technical people that are coming up underneath me. So that's been a big shift for me. I didn't know that that's something I liked doing, but, you know, it's kind of been a theme throughout my life, and Darden kind of solidified it that, you know, teaching is a big part of what I like to do.
So Peter, I'm struck thinking about your story and the fact that you were actually maybe already in an instructional role when you embarked upon this. How did this experience of being a second year tutor contribute to your MBA experience?
Yeah, standing up in front of individuals. Now, the two classes that I teach at University of Virginia are history centric, so they're not very difficult, and there's not really many questions, right? The material is there; it's already been written in stone. So you're just teaching it. And giving perspectives and tying it to current events. But what I would say is it validated a lot of the soft core classes that we took. Communication, how do you talk to different groups? How do you talk to different people at different skill levels? And you got to put those into practice, you know, near real time. So that was kind of fun. You got to test those theories. But ultimately, I would venture to say that the way it most impacted my full Darden experience was it allowed me to immediately use my newfound skills or my newfound knowledge to help the people that were coming behind us. And then that struck up conversation. Still today, I get just random hello messages, how are you, from about four or five people in the class of 2022, my only connection with them is hoping that I didn't steer them the wrong way in global economic markets and finance. And the fact that they kept coming back means that they were doing just fine in Darden and they didn't think I was a complete idiot. So that's really it. Like, just being able to have that group of people that are coming behind you and trust your knowledge and want to come back and see what you have to teach them. And that was pretty cool.
I appreciate that. I mean, we're right now We got an incoming class of executive MBA students, executive MBA class of 2023. We actually just hosted a virtual networking event with the class of 2022. I think one of the things we're thinking a lot about is how do you build these cross-class connections socially, professionally? There's this desire, y'all know this well, our listeners not surprised to hear this, but desire to build your network and meet as many people as you can. And I think we see that as an opportunity area, the second year, first year connections. We've done some of that in the past, but maybe even opportunity to do more. So Justin, coming to you with same question as the other folks, what did you take away from this experience, or what did it contribute to your Darden experience?
Yeah, I think everybody's kind of covered the giving back piece. The last thing I'll say is to be able to interface with the professors, you know, the real experts on in their fields, to, you know, see what kind of message, what they wanted to teach and how they wanted to teach that. And to be a, you know, not necessarily a partner, but to be able to help facilitate that was, it was great. We didn't have a lot of opportunity with COVID to interact with the professors as we normally would. And so this provided another good opportunity to be able to network with them, to be able to learn a little bit more, you know, and to kind of think about what that second level messaging is, you know, when they're standing in front of the room. I found that incredibly, incredibly value added, being a tutor here.
All right. So we asked the same last question of everybody that comes on the podcast. We're going to ask a little bit of a riff on this question, given your roles and the fact that you've led these kind of quantitatively oriented sessions. So this feels appropriate also for this moment. We're doing all this sort of academic prep programming, what we're calling executive MBA, Darden before Darden, focused on finance, accounting, decision analysis, global economies and markets. That's going to be happening over the course of June and July, a few Saturdays for our executive MBA class of 2023. So to ask an academic inspired advice question feels very top of mind for me. So Matt, if you don't mind, come to you with this question first. What's one piece of academic related advice you would have for someone who's orienting towards the executive MBA program, getting ready to start the program?
That's a really good question. I would say, I think all of Darden's prep materials are really good. So if you are in a role that is non-technical and you haven't touched Excel in, you know, 20 years or maybe never, go through those sessions and just make sure you've got the nuts and bolts down. The other thing I would say is expect to be overwhelmed and expect that you're going to get through it. Like, everybody at some point feels very, very lost with this material. And for me, it was other materials. It wasn't decision analysis. It was accounting for me. I felt completely lost in accounting. But you will get through it if you just get your nose down and go through the effort. Like, the Darden process works. You will learn the material. You will have it at a sufficient level. And you will be able to accomplish the task. So I guess my other piece of advice would be not to be afraid.
No, I appreciate that. And, you know, we try to remind folks that this program is about building fluency, not expertise. So we're not trying to make you an accountant. We're trying to make you aware of accounting principles and how they work and what the managerial perspective is on those things. But yes, I appreciate, expect to be overwhelmed, because it does happen for folks. It's important to verbalize that. Peter, how about for you? Piece of academic advice you would share for folks?
It might seem, go back and make sure you know how to write. It's a skill that is perishable. I was probably a better writer when I was in 10th grade with Mr. Santee. I'll never forget him. I'll never forget 10th grade English. Because even in your quantitative courses, you're going to have a word count to get you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to display that decision in the written word. And you might be able to get all the numbers right, but if you can't write a coherent paragraph that's either persuasive or exact, you're going to have a hard time. And then that will translate very well into your leadership communications courses 1 and 2 and your EEL courses. So go back and not to scare anyone, but just really brush up on your writing skills. And that will go a long way throughout any course that you take along your 21 months here.
I appreciate that point. We talk all the time about this being a communication-based MBA experience, right? People constantly explaining, you know, not just what they think, but why they think that. It's important to remember that also happens in written form. Yes, you will have exams again, as noted here in this conversation. Barry, any thoughts you'd like to share on this question of academic related advice?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about grades for a second. grades are a funny thing. In our circles, we've joked around about that nobody cares about grades, but everybody cares about grades. And I'd say my advice would be this. There were certain times in my 21 months where I focused on learning the material and didn't really care about the grade. And there were times that I said, you know what, I really just want to get an HP or a DP in this because I feel like I should or I need to. And what I found was that I actually learned the material better when I didn't care about the grade and focused just on the material. So that would be my advice to incoming students would be, you know, if you put your effort into it, you're going to pass. Everybody passes if they care about what they're doing and they try. And, you know, we've learned this from day one that Darden wants us all to pass. So that would be my advice is, you know, focus on the material. Don't worry about the grade. You'll get the grade if you put the effort into it. But, you know, enjoy the process and enjoy enjoy your team and trust your team and take advantage of your learning teams and everybody else in the program, because they're all there to help you. Everybody's here to help you win and pass and get to the next level and ultimately graduate. So that's what I got.
All right. I appreciate all of that. Be learning oriented. That's important for everybody to remember. More input, less output oriented.
Yeah. Profit, much like grades, you know, it's a byproduct of hard work. Byproduct of hard work.
There you go. All right, Justin, last but not least, any thoughts you'd like to share on this question of academic related advice?
Don't be afraid to ask why. You know, as an ops guy, it's a critical part of my toolkit. You know, it's something I tried to teach when I was, when we were doing the ops tutoring. But it's, you know, it's kind of trite being here at Darden. You know, the tagline is discover your why. But it really does help, you know, understand the core concepts. And furthermore, if you are at that kind of juncture where you're trying to figure out where you want to go next in life, you're a switcher, that may be something, asking that why can be something that'll help unlock that next career path for you, or make that decision to, I want to be a teacher, you know? And the other thing is someone else in that room with 140 people is thinking the same question that you're going to have. So to be able to ask that why, you're going to build the knowledge for the rest of the class, and it's only going to make you better. So I can remember the times where, I did that, felt embarrassed, learned the concept and felt so much better for it. So don't be afraid to do it. It'll only make you better.
Appreciate the root cause analysis 5Y shout out here. So there you go. A little ops, working in some ops concepts, even in this podcast conversation. So thank you all for your advice. And for those of you listening to this wondering about the pre-matriculation resources that we make available that Matt mentioned. We have a lot of different things. We have MBA math that's made available to students. We have a couple of accounting MOOCs that we made available this year. We have a new thing called Be Ready that was developed by a finance faculty member here at Darden, Mark Lipson. That's asynchronous. It's online, virtual for folks. And then we're going to be doing these live sessions. And the inspiration for all of this, the idea, is just to expose you to things prior to the start of the programs, diminish that learning curve so that when you see an accounting idea or concept again, or you're doing something in Excel, maybe it's not the first time you're seeing it or doing it. You have a little bit of a running start. You're not trying to, you know, push people towards mastery or anything like that. It's just familiarity. That's the goal. So, and we encourage students to kind of meet these resources wherever they may be in this journey. So Barry, Matt, Peter, Justin, thank you so much for your time and for sharing your experience and your expertise. And again, from all of us here at the Exec MBA podcast to you, congratulations on completing the program.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And that was my interview with several recent graduates from our Executive MBA class of 2021 who served as second year tutors over this past year. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's EXEC, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.